This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
It might seem like so, but quite far from it, because AI is actually not supposed to replace anybody. AI is supposed to be a co-pilot. You don't go on autopilot with AI. You use it as a co-pilot. Personal finance is basically more not about finances, but more about people's feelings, fears, worries, aspirations, and dreams. And that's why the human aspect becomes very important. So AI is not here to replace financial advisors, but the financial advisors who are at risk are those who don't embrace AI. If someone is betting on being good at numbers, and that is what they're betting as their career, they may not be able to survive the sweep that is coming with AI. The people who are going to survive are going to be storytellers, people who can tell stories, people who can resonate with humans. We've seen the way people do market segmentation. They talk B2B, B2C. In my sales philosophy, I teach people about human to human. Connect with a person at the human level. What are their fears? What are their worries? What are their dreams? Because decisions that people make, the choices that people make, actually reflect what they care about.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Make Money the Podcast, the show where we not only tell you but also show you what's happening to your money and what could happen. And of course, this is always guided by conversations with the experts of money. And I'm happy to introduce the topic for this week. And we are talking about artificial intelligence or AI. And of course, we know the conversations that have been around on AI. What's happening? AI is taking jobs. AI is replacing professionals. And AI in itself is making an impact within the investment space. And I'm happy to, on that note, introduce the topic for this week. And we are looking at whether AI can replace your financial advisor. And what we've done here at Make Money the Podcast, basically came up with single question and put it across three AI prototypes or three AI products to see what kind of results we'd have. And the question here was, if I'm saving 10,000 shillings every month, so those would be my savings every single month, accumulating to about 120,000 a year, where would I invest it to get the highest possible return? And so from the findings of this, we're able to actually test and see the wealth of knowledge that AI has already learned so far. And we will be picking up this conversation from the same findings. And I'm happy to introduce my guest for this week. Mr. Victor Marangu is the Chief Executive Officer and also founder of WealthPro Africa. It's an Africa-based edtech platform specifically focusing on financial literacy. And Mr. Marangu, I'm happy to have you on this podcast.
Thank you. Thank you,
Kevin. We'll pick it up from the same note where we did speak to the impact AI is having, and more so within the personal investment space, more so particularly financial advisory. Mm-hmm. And what we are seeing is the AI is really getting good. And from the answers I did get, I can always say the three platforms that we use or the three products that we use, we had Meta AI on WhatsApp, you know what they have on WhatsApp.
Yes.
We also have, you have a custom GPT yourself based off ChatGPT, which is also a personal advisor. Mm-hmm. And we also use ChatGPT, the basic product. And what we did see is actually the more custom the GPT or the more custom the product, then the more refined answer you're able to get. But generally, all three of them are giving us pretty much a good idea of what to expect or what to see in terms of the investment avenues on products out there. So let's start with that note and ask the question. Is AI replacing our financial advisors at this point?
It might seem like so, but quite far from it, because AI is actually not supposed to replace anybody. AI is supposed to be a co-pilot. You don't go on autopilot with AI. You use it as a co-pilot in the sense that most of the work that is done during the financial advisory process, first of all, you deal with data. So AI is very good with data, and you realize that you're able to crunch a lot of numbers using AI as opposed to a single individual. AI will go fetch you all the data that you need, and then now, as a financial advisor, you can now be able to translate that data to the investor and have conversations. Personal finance is basically more not about finances, but more about people's feelings, fears, worries, aspirations, and dreams. And that's why the human aspect becomes very important. So AI is not here to replace financial advisors, but the financial advisors who are at risk are those who don't embrace AI, those who don't scale up. We see in the modern career world that the skills that we have got a very short shelf life. And that's why I always advocate for continuous learning and development, that you're able to pick up skills that will become relevant and keep you relevant. Otherwise, you'll be termed obsolete in your career. So look at Case in Point, an organization whereby you have a team of salespeople who have been in the company for so long, and then you have newbies who are coming, and they have embraced AI, and they're able to do more work. They're able to reach out to more prospects. They're able to have more conversations per day, more responses than the traditional way of selling. Then you realize that the newbies are going to outsell the old guys who imagine that they have all the crowd and everything else. So AI is supposed to be an enabler. AI will enhance what you call personalization, because we're in the age of hyper-personalization when it comes to especially matters personal finance, because that is why people work so hard. You need to drive them towards their goals, and that cannot be done autonomously using AI. So AI is supposed to be a co-pilot and not a replacement of the financial advisor.
So allow me to sample some of the responses that we got from our AI. And some of the best responses I saw is AI admitting that it doesn't know everything. So it's even advising. We had Meta AI telling us that, hey, actually do seek the services of a financial advisor to learn more. And ChatGPT itself, and down there it indicates like, hey, you need to check for some of this correction of information.
Yeah.
Do you feel this is a reality check that AI is doing on itself, so that it doesn't take someone like you to tell me, hey, don't go full board, like you did say, AI is a co-pilot, not an autopilot kind of system. Is that response then, in a sense, AI doing a reality check on itself, noting that, hey, I might not just be able to give you everything that you might need, but here's a sample of what I have?
That's quite impressive, and I like the way you've been able to do a lot of research on that bit. The response you get, or that disclaimer you find down there, that is AI being responsible. Okay, that's called responsible AI, because talking about ethical AI and all that, even a person who is a financial advisor will not be able to give you wholesome advice. Like, at the end of the day, you as an investor, you have to make the ultimate decision, because you know where you are with the information you have. So it goes all the way to giving enough information, because when it comes to making decisions, the only limitation you might have is information, and decisions that are not data driven end up being the wrong decisions. So AI can fast track your ability to access that information, then now you make your final decision. If you just go to type something onto AI asking it questions without giving it background about you, it may not know that you recently have had a child, or you got married, or you're getting married next year. So the suggestions it might give you might conflict with your immediate objectives. AI thrives actually in context. If you really want to get the very best out of AI, you really have to feed it context. And in this sense, this is where we start talking about prompt engineering. Prompt engineering just involves giving it the right information, asking it the right questions, and guiding it on exactly what you expect. So the more refined your prompt is, the more accurate the information that you get. People who are using free AI may not be at liberty of enjoying what you call the deep research, for example, which can give you longer answers. The model is able to reason for longer and research even more and give you more detailed information. That is why when you go to paid subscription, for example, the Go, the Plus, or the Pro in ChatGPT, that one, now you put the first prompt. Before it responds to you, it asks you a couple of follow-up questions, like 1, 2, 3, 4 questions, so that you can be able to refine the context. When you refine the context, then it's able now to give you a full report. Sometimes you have to be careful. It can give you a whole 30-page document. So you have to refine, say, in 800 words or 2 pages or 2 paragraphs. And you also give it at what level of expertise. Is it beginner, intermediate, advanced? So that you can be able to get the right information. So I don't think you can just solely rely on that just a particular response. You really have to refine and refine until you, because everything is personalized. Financial advice, what you perceive to be the right advice, may not make sense to the next person. That is why being hyper-personalized becomes very critical.
So something else I liked about the responses we got, of course, is the refinement. Like you said, this can go deeper depending on how custom or how well you do your prompt in terms of what you're asking.
Mm.
My question here is with regards to how more or how better AI will get over time, because we're in the early days of AI and we are still in the testing ground for how much it can do.
Mm.
And I like the refined details we got. As you consider investments, you know, do look at liquidity, do look at growth and do look at stability. So yeah, it's giving you a distribution basically between money market funds for liquidity or you know fixed deposit accounts, short-term deposits in this case. And of course, right at stability, there's government bonds, and right at the long term, it's offering you options like investing in stocks. And it's even giving you more specific, going to say telecommunications and banking sector if you are to look at the NSE. If this is the early days of AI and we are so well in terms of the information, even for someone new or a novice trader is still getting a lot of value from these. Mm. How better can these systems get for us?
I can say right now, what is happening right now used to appear like sci-fi, so futuristic, too far, very distant from now, but now we are living that reality. But what you're going to realize is that as AI advances, the computing power, as we leap into quantum computing, that computing power, the more it increases, the more AI is able to do many, many calculations per given time duration. So you realize that AI will get smarter and smarter. And we're talking about agentic AI. And an agentic AI, you can use an agent, like where we are seated right now, you can be able to order KFC. And you get KFC delivered. You just tell it to order. It's given the instructions, able to log in, sign in as you, and all that kind of stuff, and places an order, does the payment, and there you are. You get your order. So agentic AI is real. It will get smarter and smarter. We will get to the point of even autonomous portfolio management, whereby all you need to feed your AI system or model is the investment policy statement. You say, this is a pension fund. We are looking at long-term growth while observing the downside risk. We want growth, but observe the downside risk. This is a maximum drawdown, and these are the parameters. This is how much you can put in equities. This is how much you can put. Then the system picks up that autonomously and is able to enter and exit markets based on that. On what's happening in the market. This is what you call, for example, portfolio balancing. You could be heavy on equities, but then you realize that the debt market is doing better. AI can autonomously do that in the near future where we are headed. Already people are using algorithmic trading, and that is AI in action. But we are going to get to the point of autonomous portfolio management. If someone is betting on being good at numbers, and that is what they are betting as their career, they may not be able to survive the sweep that is coming with AI. The people who are going to survive are going to be storytellers, people who can tell stories, people who can resonate with humans. We've seen the way people do market segmentation. They talk B2B, B2C. In my sales philosophy, I teach people about human to human. Connect with a person at the human level. What are their fears? What are their worries? What are their dreams? Because decisions that people make, the choices that people make, actually reflect what they care about. It's only a human being that can be able to have those conversations, look someone in the face, look at what could be their worries, what are their fears, based on the experiences and anticipate what is going to happen. For example, if there's a market crash, AI will not tell you oops or things like that. It will just give you as S. It'll tell you you lost 50% of your portfolio, and that is the end of the story. So how do you move from that shock? A human advisor can be able now to pick that conversation, console you and tell you, don't worry about this and all that kind of stuff. Not that AI cannot do that, but it may not do it the way, because AI will never understand humans the way we understand ourselves. AI will get smarter. It will get crazy. So many people will be cut off. But what we really need to focus on is that continuous learning and development. You see, how am I doing? And do I need my co-pilot to continue doing what I do? Don't go autopilot, because you go autopilot, you're deemed redundant, even in your job. For example, right here where we are having this conversation, I don't think AI can be able to come and engage me with this kind of conversation, because it thrives on structures. Thrives on it has already been fed. But right now, as we converse, you're thinking. We're having a conversation, so you're thinking, you're reasoning, and then giving the right response. It will continue being sharp and smart in the future, but it will never completely replace human. Yeah.
Let's go back to the opening question here, where we turn back to our financial advisors, and some of them actually follow this podcast a lot, so we thank you for that.
Yeah.
But coming to that question of dread of getting replaced as a financial advisor, and I've seen a lot of doomsday scenarios created out there. There's somebody suggesting a 99% unemployment rate. I don't know whether we get that, and there's always fears on whether that happens.
Yeah.
But my question here is, for someone worried, it's easy to worry again. It's very easy to sit and worry.
Yeah.
But if you are to be, in a sense, practical about what's happening, what do you do as someone within the profession? You really want to hone your skills in AI, but you still fear getting replaced. Is there use worrying, or what if you are to take any action against what's coming, the disruption? What action do you take?
Like I warned earlier, there is need to continuously monitor your skill set. Okay, your knowledge domain. What is your knowledge domain? And what are you good at? If you, what you're good at can be automated, you better focus on more human-centered skills that AI cannot take, like empathy, storytelling. You can be a very good data analyst. You draw very nice charts. But if you cannot tell a story from those charts and from those numbers, then you're not better off. Someone who is very good at storytelling, who is not necessarily an actuarial scientist or CFA or what that, they are able to look at numbers and tell a story from those numbers. Those are the ones who are going to survive better. So we are saying, let us now move from being machine-centered to more human-centric kind of skilling up. And that's why, if I may, at Wealth Pro Africa, when I founded Wealth Pro Africa, it's on the premise that, can we equip, for example, Africans with the skills that really matter. For example, Kefaya, if I ask you parts of a grasshopper, you tell me very quickly without even blinking. But if I ask you the 8 steps of a sales process in the agribusiness world,
struggle with that.
You struggle with that. If I ask you what's your net worth right now and how has it changed the last 3 years, you struggle with that. Yet those are the very critical things that make life worthy. That's why you come to work. That is what nails your why. You find, I'm yet to see any university degree, not just the degree, but a unit within a degree program called Sales 101. Yet, when you come to looking at company financials, the first line,
the top line,
the top line is sales stroke revenue.
Yeah.
But who have you entrusted with sales? People who did not receive proper instructions in school. You get a Form 4 kid, goes to flying school, they receive instructions, within no time, they are flying commercial. Okay, you get a Form 4 kid, you take them through university, they receive instructions, they become medical doctors. Before you know it, they're operating your heart, and you're okay with that. But then how comes we are letting our companies run on probably on the ability of the founder to sell and the partners he brings across, maybe that, but we don't have a structured way of selling. And that's why I'm advocating for professionalization of the sales profession. When it comes to financial advisory, again, what we have majority product pushers. Sorry to say so, very few people have mastered the art of financial advisory. Very few. Actually, the Financial Planning and Standards Board has certified about 300,000 professionals globally. And Africa only accounts for 2% of that. And the majority of that 2% is actually in South Africa. Kenya, I'm yet to meet a CFP, a certified financial planner. I'm yet to meet that. When it comes to analysts, you find analysts. For example, we have ISIFA. ISIFA, certified financial analyst, financial analyst, financial investments analyst, and all that kind of stuff. But personal financial planning has been left out. That's why you find a CFO struggling with debt. Someone who saw a company, a chief investment officer, whose company is doing so well, they are also struggling with their personal finance because this is something that was not taught in school. So that's why I keep insisting that it is very important to look at the critical skills that AI will not replace but enhance. Even the careers that people already have, they don't have to worry. You just need to ask yourself a question. What can I do to become good with AI? So if you become AI proficient, then you're okay. Let me take you back. When laptops came or when computers came, big managers did not want to see that thing on their desk because they don't know how that thing, they think it's going to replace them. But did computers replace people? It only replaced people who could not use computers. But those people who studied computer skills, basic computer applications like word processing, it used to look like a very big thing when you put that thing on your CV. You've done computer applications, computer packages. And yet these days, when you tell people you've done computer packages, we are talking about on ChatGPT, you're doing all that word processing and all that kind of stuff. Like myself, I'm instruction design. The way I use instructional design in my company, I don't have a team of like 15 course authors and instructional designers. I've created custom models based on global best practices in instructional design to generate a course that has got, mine has got a 14-point checklist as per the global standards to generate a course that gives instructions. And that is the same way we've used it for the 6 courses you're offering: personal financial planning, wealth management, AI mastery, train the trainer, professional selling skills, and sales management. Those I've mentioned, you realize that they are very critical. Yeah, these are the things that are supposed to be taught from the very basic levels. Especially if someone enters college, they should have that in their curriculum. But what happens? People graduate. They even graduate masters, but you still find a PhD going for training on some other things. Then you wonder, what were you studying all along? What were you studying all along? Can we equip our learners with the skills that really matter? This is my personal opinion. I also feel like we take a lot of time in school, learning things that we will not need after school. I would rather we have degrees that goes for 18 months, but you come out there knowing how to do things. Because when it comes, for example, coding with AI now, you can implement coding with a no-code environment. You can generate an app without learning how to code. So what is going to happen for someone who knows their IT, they know Python, they know Django, they know React, all those programming languages, and they are so good at it. But then now AI comes and replaces you. And you don't know how to use AI, yet you know you can code and all that kind of stuff. That is someone who can become more proficient and even more useful if they embraced AI, they added AI to their arsenal of their skill set and become so good at it. It's important for people to continue skilling up, that's the word, so that people don't dread or start living in fear that jobs will be taken. I know people have been laid off. People get laid off because of the need for operational efficiency. And when you are deemed that we don't need you, robots can, at Amazon warehouses, can ferry stuff from point A to point B and put it in the right box and make sure it delivered to the right person with minimal errors, as opposed to a human being who can get distracted by hearing a sound or something and put the box in the wrong place. It's very important to understand what can be automated, what cannot be automated.
You remind me of something someone told me, that if AI is to replace people, then the first people to be replaced are those who haven't learned AI, which is a good point. Also, what we've seen recently is companies are now demanding people to be AI proficient. So no matter whether it's a journalist like myself or someone working behind the scenes, they need to understand AI. And, you know, I've seen KPMG now requiring as a KPI at the end of the year, it's going to assess its employees on their AI proficiency, which of course means then you have to re-upskill on AI, no matter what profession you're using.
Yeah.
So Mr. Marang, we'll close it off with a single question here.
Yeah.
And mine is to find out from you, what do you think the investment landscape will look like 10 to 15 years from today with AI in mind? How will that change for professionals and even for myself as, you know, as an investor?
A very tricky question there, because the time span that you've mentioned, 15 years, is a lot of time. Based on AI times that we are living in, we should start getting worried about what will happen in the next 6 months, in the next 1 year. There will be astronomical improvements in the computing power, because that is what AI actually relies on. Right now, everything is on cloud and everything else, but you're talking about an era where AI will be running on your device without having to go online. To be running on your device and doing everything on device. That means you don't need expensive data centers and all that kind of stuff. Energy consumption will have to be reduced, because that is a struggle right now, reducing energy consumption. So the moment now AI can operate on your own device, for example, if you look at Microsoft 365 right now, the way it is able now to process document, even much faster speed. If you put up a document, can summarize the document just within the PC. When it comes now to investments world, I mentioned earlier, autonomous portfolio management and smart rebalancing. All it needs, of course, there will be human intervention, but on a very, very, very low scale. And the hyper-skilled individuals are the ones who will be running the show. Because you have to know, what kind of prompts am I giving? How am I modifying my investment policy statement so that when I feed it into my model, I'm getting the exact results that I want. Markets, no one can predict markets, okay? There's nothing like efficient markets. If someone tells you the share price for Apple today is 3,000, for example, US dollars, and then we see it at 3,500, that is betting. That's betting. No matter what information they think they have, nobody knows where markets will go. But now, with proper calculations, the millions and millions of calculations that AI models can be able to calculate, this is what we call predictive analytics. Can use predictive analytics, study the past patterns and all that kind of stuff, and tell you, but of course, it will put a disclaimer that don't take my word for it, that we anticipate this is where it might be headed based on, but now make your ultimate decision. But now, based on the same premise, these autonomous portfolio managers will be able to operate and deliver return, sometimes outsized return, because sometimes timing, that is where now AI outpaces the human being, because within the blink of an eye to click sell, much could have changed the market. But this one is monitoring. This is a take profit. This is a stop loss limit. So it goes in, follows the market, follows the trends. If it falls below, it halts, exits the position. If it reaches the take profit limit, it exits the position. And then it's able to run a portfolio and wind up and settle a book when that time comes. So we ended into the world of hyper-personalization and autonomy when it comes to financial advice. But there will still be need for that human intervention.
That has been Victor Marango, the founder and chief executive officer for WealthPro Africa. And I thank you for being on the podcast for this week.
Thank you.
And we look forward to having more conversations around AI and the place of AI within the investing space and more about the whole universe of personal investing.
Thank you, Kefa.
That has been another episode of Make Money the Podcast. And until I catch you on the next episode, remember, as always, make your money work for you. Goodbye.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.